And welcome back to Koala Moon, a podcast of original children's bedtime stories and meditations designed to make bedtime a dream. Welcome, new Coco Club crew. Today, we're welcoming you, Larissa and Yohandre from Auckland, Ishani from Toronto, Yami from Sydney, Luna and Harvey, and Jasper and Theo from Tasmania. I so appreciate you and your families joining up and supporting us to make the show better and better. Now you've got loads of bonus stories to catch up on, as well as the complete ad-free experience. Oh, also, here's a special birthday shout-out going out to Coastie, who listens with his sister Zoe from South Carolina. Have a wonderful birthday, Coastie. Now then, this story is extremely relaxing and restful, but it is chock-a-block full of interesting facts, so it might need a double listen. Prickles is our guide. Remember him? Coco's great friend and courageous little hedgehog. He's super inquisitive as well as brave and is about to embark upon the journey of a lifetime. Parents, Koala Moon is now available on Story Button, the easiest way to listen to Koala Moon and many other great kid podcasts without having to use your phone or tablet to play the episodes. Save $10 this month when you use the code KOALA at storybutton.com. Listen to all your favourite bedtime stories and more without using a screen. Learn more at storybutton.com. If you've ever travelled around the British countryside, you'll be aware that some of the views are epic and jaw-droppingly beautiful. You may also be aware that there is one major obstacle that can frustrate a good sightseeing excursion around the country lanes, especially in late summer. And what is that obstacle? A hedge. They line all the lanes and divide the fields. The thing is, whilst they may get in the way of seeing very far, they are a very important home to a diverse variety of wildlife. They are brimming with life, in fact. And tonight, with the help of our spiky little friend, we're going to investigate. So get ready to rest and switch on your imagination. Perhaps close your eyes or just let your gaze softly rest on something. Listen to your breathing as you take a breath in through your nose. And then let it out. Breathe softly for a few moments and adjust yourself in bed so you are really comfy. Lovely. You continue to relax and just breathe in and out gently, and I'll get started. This is Prickles Boards the Hedgerow Express by Jane Thomas. Have you ever heard a rustle within a hedge and wondered what little creature is scurrying around inside it? There are whole worlds hidden in the hedges in our towns and countrysides. It is said that if you were to take all of England's hedges and place them end to end, they would wrap around the world 10 times over. That's hundreds of thousands of miles of hedgerows. Each one packed with flowers and shrubs, beetles and bugs, birds' nests and dens and burrows and hideaways. When Prickles the Hedgehog found this out, which was sort of by accident one day when he overheard his dad talking with their neighbour Mr. Burrow, he thought that was one of the most wonderful things he'd ever heard. Prickles had always loved a hedgerow. There where he found purple and plump blackberries, and where he helped his mother reach for the soft white sprays of elderflower, and where he climbed inside and found long loops of sweet-scented honeysuckle that his sister made into headdresses and garlands. Also, he shared half his name with hedgerows, being a hedgehog. The conversation he'd heard between his father and Mr. Burrow stuck firmly in his mind. Prickles found his mind drifting off in classes at school, and in the middle of discussions at the dinner table, and even though his eyes would move down the pages of a book, he would realise that he had no idea what had been written at all, and have to start all over again. His mind was completely and utterly occupied by hedges and the worlds within. And so, Prickles decided to make a plan. He went through the bookshelves and found what he was after, the Happy Hedgehog Camper, pulling it down along with a pile of maps for all of England and Scotland and Wales, and carried them to his bedroom. He spread out the maps, covering almost the entire floor with them, and then sat down right in the middle, on top of where a place called West Yorkshire nestled against East Yorkshire, where all the lines showed him it was very hilly indeed. Over the next few weeks, he planned a route from the far southern corner of England, a wild-looking place called Land's End, which seemed very appropriate, all the way to the furthest corners of Scotland in the north. The headland at the top of the country was called Dunnet Head, which made Prickles chuckle a little as he put together his plan. He would travel the entire length of the country, all the way from Land's End to Dunnet Head, and be able to say when he reached the end, "Done it." In fact, Prickles found this so funny, and he laughed so loudly that his father came into his bedroom to see what was going on in there. His father was just about to open his mouth to speak when the words stopped halfway along his tongue. He looked at the maps now covered in bits of string, and he looked at pins that had been stuck in all the way, and he looked at Prickles sat squarely in the middle, still shaking with laughter. And finally, he looked at the title of the book Prickles held in his hands. And that is why Prickles and his dad ended up on a train in England a few days later, each carrying a backpack filled with useful bits and pieces like sleeping bags and roll mats and head torches and Wellington boots, and headed all the way to Land's End. They were off on an expedition to visit as many hedgerows as possible and see the worlds inside. Prickles stared out of the train window and watched as the world rushed by. They rattled over bridges and alongside rivers and next to the ocean, up steep hills and down even steeper ones, and through tunnels into villages and towns. Hardly anyone else went all the way to the far corner of the country, and in fact, it was just Prickles and his dad who climbed down at the last station. They were left quite alone on the platform. Prickles picked up the first map they would use and turned it around 4 or 5 times before he finally worked out which was the right way up. He showed his dad their first campsite for the night. As they left the station, they saw a small wooden sign so low to the ground that no people would ever see it, but the perfect height for animals such as hedgehogs. It showed the way to their first stop, Dormice Delight Dormitories, a few miles away. There was a picture of an acorn carved into the wooden sign, and Prickles and his dad followed the acorn pictures across fields and stiles and ditches and streams until they finally arrived at the perfect point on the hedgerow. Prickles pushed his way through the hawthorn entrance and his eyes opened wide. Inside, the hedgerow was all but hollowed out. Fireflies sat on every branch and twig, so it was as if they'd stumbled into a golden ball of light. A dormouse sitting on a particularly large acorn beckoned them over, welcoming them to Dormice Delight and asking to see their booking. Prickles rummaged in his bag for the right piece of paper, showing they had reservations for 2 bunk beds for the night, and the dormouse pointed to a tunnel that weaved its way among the branches of the hedgerow. They had just finished unrolling their sleeping bags and plumping up their pillows when a stoat poked his head into the chamber and invited Prickles and his dad to dinner, and so they followed the stoat deeper and deeper into the hedgerow until they emerged into the vast dining hall. A menu appeared, and Prickles ran his eyes down the list, pausing at stargazy pie and deciding that sounded like a little slice of magic. His dad ordered a Cornish pasty, showing Prickles how the pastry was folded over and curled and crimped to make a big hunk of a handle on the side. "The Cornish miners used to eat these, you see," he explained to his son. "There would be meat and veg at one end of the pasty and then something like apple and blackberry at the other end, so your dinner and dessert in one." And then, as he finished eating, he took the last bit of pastry and put it down on his plate. "This bit you don't eat. The miner's hands would be filthy, so they left that last bit alone. Isn't that clever?" Prickles carefully noted everything about the pasty in his diary that evening, his large looping letters also holding reminders of stargazy pie and scones with strawberry jam and generous dollops of yellow cream. It's surprising how quickly the hedgerows came to be like home. They were so thick and strong that even when the wind blew with all its strength and rain poured from the sky, Prickles was completely snug inside. On the days when the sun threw down its warmth, the hedgerows were cool and calm. Prickles particularly loved the hedgerows that came with little information boards showing how old they were and why they'd been grown in the first place. Near a place called Stratford were hedgerows that had been there since the days of William Shakespeare, and Prickles and his dad followed the signs carefully to find a theatre buried deep in the countryside. The theatre was lit by a soft green moss that glowed in the dark, and Prickles sat in awe as a group of field mice put on a play called The Tempest, all about a shipwreck on a magical island where spirits danced and a magician cast magnificent spells. Prickles held his breath and watched in wonder. "Some of the bushes are so old they remember the first time the plays were put on," whispered a stoat, and the bushes seemed to rustle around him, as if to say it was indeed true. "That's over 400 years ago. Isn't it amazing? And here we are, still putting on those same plays." "It's wonderful," whispered back Prickles, wondering for a moment if anything he wrote in his diaries might be important enough to be remembered in 400 years' time. He had planned his route carefully to visit some of the finest hedgerows in the country, which means they had to head to a place called Cambridgeshire, to what is called Judith's Hedge, the oldest hedge in the whole country. This hedgerow has been a home to thousands of creatures since it was created over 900 years ago. It is older than Windsor Castle, where the queens and kings of England have lived for generations. Older than most of the churches and cathedrals. Older than the castles that still stand on the highest peaks. Older than the ancient stone barns that stand in the fields that are marked out by the endless lines of hedgerows. Judith's Hedge was a special place, and Prickles felt that as soon as he pushed past the wild roses that hung around the entrance to the butterfly bed and breakfast where he and his dad would stay that night. A gatekeeper butterfly, orange wings with a perfect brown fringe, checked their booking, and a holly blue butterfly fluttered ahead along the corridors to show them to their room. Hammocks woven from leaves hung from the strongest spiderwebs. Glowworms wrapped themselves around thick hawthorn stems and lit the way. Prickles followed voices deep in the hedgerow and emerged into a huge hall, where moles sat alongside voles and rabbits perched next to hares, and all were turned towards the front, where an elderly frog wearing a sweeping black cloak and a square, flat black hat was giving a lecture. "You'll find," the frog was saying, "that hedgerows are invaluable to animals who use them as corridors of safety, ancient passages where they can pass unseen by the outside world. The hedgerow from the outside may seem dull and bland, a mass of green and brown all tangled together. But peer closer, and the truth twinkles bright and bold." Prickles found a spare seat and settled into it, captivated by the frog, who walked back and forth across a small stage with his hands behind his back, talking to the room and yet also seeming to talk to himself at the same time. He was wrapped up in his words, building up to a grand finale. All the creatures leaned forwards in their seats, waiting in the growing silence to hear what else the frog could tell them. "These worlds within have been the saving grace of wildlife for hundreds of years." The animals nodded. "These worlds within, each unique, are surely..." The frog paused here for dramatic effect, looking up and sweeping his eyes across the animals. "Are surely some of the most magical on earth. The wisdom and sanctuary of the hedgerows are unequalled. Wherever you are, whatever happens, nature will be there to save and support you. Remember that, my fellow creatures, and you will always find hope and happiness." Prickles felt his spines rise up a little, the same way the hairs stand up on a person's arm when they are in the presence of something or someone truly extraordinary. A rabbit next to him whispered,
"He lectures at Cambridge University. Isn't that something?"
And Prickles felt terribly important indeed, in the presence of a frog who had come to speak that evening from one of the oldest, most prestigious universities in all the world. The next stop on the tour of hedgerows was in a place called Yorkshire, the bit where Prickles had parked his bottom when he'd spread the maps across his bedroom floor all those weeks ago. A badger welcomed him to the Sleepy Stoat, an inn where all the creatures wore flat caps and seemed to drink copious amounts of tea.
"Welcome to God's own country," said the badger, smiling proudly as he pointed out the features of the hedgerow.
The beds were made of the thick, springy heathers that poured across the countryside in waves of rippling purple. The entranceway was dense with holly, the bright, shiny, dark green leaves, and bright, shiny, dark red berries, serving as both a beautiful doorway and excellent security system in one. That evening, Prickles ate his first Yorkshire pudding, a huge puff of pastry that had been baked into a bowl and filled with rich, thick gravy. In each hedgerow, he noticed the voices of the animals changed. There might be only a few miles between their happy hedgehog campsites, but the accents would be different
and the food would be different, and the flowers and trees and bushes that made up the hedgerows would be different. Prickles carefully wrote everything in his diary, those large looping letters wandering across page after page, all that he saw and heard noted down so he might never forget. But he knew that he would never forget the last few weeks of hedgerows that they saw. Those that rambled across the Scottish Highlands were like no other, and filled with sights and sounds that would always be with him. Nessie's Nest was a particularly wonderful campsite, named, of course, after the giant creature that lives in nearby Loch Ness. The sound of the bagpipes reached Prickles long before they entered the hedgerow, and he smiled broadly at the red squirrel who greeted him. The squirrel introduced himself as Callum and proudly posed in his kilt, red tartan squares bright against the green of the hedgerow. Prickles's bed for the night was a thick mattress of dark green moss, warm and inviting, but he couldn't resist following the sound of the music. A huge hall was cut out into the middle of the hedgerow, and high on a branch another squirrel played the bagpipes. He squeezed the bag and blew into the mouthpiece, and the notes soared and filled the air with music. A stoat sat nearby with a fiddle, the bow speeding wildly back and forth across the strings. Around the edge of a makeshift dance floor, creatures clapped their hands and stamped their feet. And in the middle, others swirled and twirled and danced faster and faster as the music picked up pace. Prickles and his dad joined in, shouting and cheering along with the others, filling the hedgerow with life and laughter. Prickles thought back to the words of the frog all the way back in Cambridge, how the hedgerows were twinkling with magic, and he threw back his head and cheered with delight as his dad grabbed his hands and swung him faster and faster in a circle. The final days of their tour of the hedgerows were quiet, as Prickles thought through everything he had seen on his journey. His legs were so tired. He could well believe he had walked around the world 10 times, even though, if truth be told, they had taken many trains and buses to help them along their way. It would take, he decided, an entire lifetime to know all the different hedgerows and see everything that was hidden inside. He'd loved each and every moment of the trip, and he dragged his feet a little on those last days, not wanting it to come to an end, but knowing that it must. Dunnet Head was the last stop. It was a cold and windy day, with the wind whipping its way all the way from Norway, with the feeling of snow and ice behind it. Prickles pulled on his warmest coat and his thickest socks and buried his feet into his Wellington boots, bending himself into the wind and pushing forwards. With each step, his legs were more and more tired. His dad walked alongside him, distracting him by pointing out the thick yellow gorse, or the patches of purple heather, or the birds racing through the sky high above. Prickles imagined the final stop, the Highland Hangout campsite, in the final hedgerow they would see. Scotland had perhaps been the wildest and most wonderful of the places he had seen. There weren't as many hedgerows here, nowhere near as many as when they'd started, all the way down in Cornwall, where they crisscrossed and climbed over every corner of the countryside. It was late in the evening when they finally approached the headland, and as Prickles stood there, the wind rushing around him, he whispered to himself, "Done it," and just about found the energy for a little smile. The Highland Hangout was a particularly beautiful hedgerow, or perhaps anywhere would have seemed particularly beautiful that evening, since Prickles was so very, very tired. He yawned and stretched his way through the evening. And in the morning, his father wrapped him in a blanket and carried him, still fast asleep, to the magical train that would whisk them back to Sleepy Forest. The train raced and rattled its way through the counties, rushing past hedgerows filled with memories and magic, and Prickles slept soundly beneath his tartan rug, dreaming of all the things he had seen and the worlds he now knew.